When I found out you were speaking, I asked Nai what Tudong meant, and she explained it. Nai is my wife. And I said, oh, maybe he'll talk about the story of the tiger. Because I know you have a personal experience, I believe, shared with another group. And I was wondering if you could mind touching on that and how you dealt with that situation.
Oh, okay, sure. Actually, this past summer at the here at Spirit Rock, I shared that story with the teens, and they really liked it. They ended up, the last night of the family retreat, the teens did this sort of skit with me and the tiger. It was fun. I was cracking up. But, one time I was on Tudong, just as a... I had completed my time of living independence on the teacher, and I was living on my own. And I wandered as a Tudong monk for many, many months until it got to be rainy season. And when I entered the rains, it was in a along the border of Burma, in a remote wilderness area, really very pristine. And it was a small tin mine. So then I was, they built a little dwelling place for me out in the far enough away from the village to for it to be very quiet, and wander in for alms. So I was living out there on my own, and I had just a hut, a very nice walking meditation path that I was using regularly, and some nice stream flowing beside me, and kind of this lovely jungle, tropical rainforest jungle. And but then one night I'm doing my walking meditation, it's dark, and it rose up into quite steep hills on either side of the stream, and very thick vegetation. And I heard a noise that and got a sort of, there's a noise and a smell about the same time, and before my kind of rational mind could sort of figure out what was happening, my whole body had already got just fear all the way through it. And the tiger has a distinct smell, distinct odor, very kind of musky smell. And then I could hear, so it's a tiger. And it was walking just above and around where I was meditating. And then it sort of tracked around, and it was just sort of there.
How far away from you?
15 feet, 20 feet, hard to tell. Yeah, 20 feet, you know, something, you know, not far. not far enough. And so I was doing my walking meditation, and... Then my hut was, it was pretty flimsy. So that, you know, you flash into my mind, oh, I better get to my hut. I said, well, what good is that? And so then, what came to mind was, and it was quite lovely, was this memory of one of the discourses of the Buddha in the Majjhima Nikaya, where the Buddha talks about when before he was enlightened, where he used to go to places of forest areas, wilderness areas, and then he would experience, he'd hear a sound, or there would be an animal, and it would provoke fear. And then the Buddha said, you know, what he would do would to just stay in that posture and to continue in that posture until the fear had gone. So then I said, okay, well, I'll just have to do that. Because, and in it, you know, you're sort of sticking with that and just staying, just doing, walking back and forth and just really trying to calm the mind, because it's there's something primal about the kind of fear of a predator like a tiger. And I'd been out in that area long enough to know what tigers could do. So I went through the options pretty quickly of what I could do if a tiger actually attacked. And it, very quickly, well, you just die. That's it. I mean, they'll actually attack elephants. They can do it, and they're extraordinary predators. They're really, you know, top of the food chain, and humans in that situation are not very far along the chain. So that, but that that's what I use. And so that fear coming up very, very strongly, and just walking back and forth until the, you know, just really calming the body and the mind, and then going and after walking for, I'm not sure for how long, an hour, 2 hours, hard to say how long. Then I went and sat meditation. And as soon as I sat meditation, just the fear comes up again. And
the tiger's still there?
Well, it's hard to say. I could hear it and smell it for a while, but then it went off. I didn't hear it go, but I couldn't smell it, I couldn't hear it. So I assumed it had gone, but that isn't what my sort of rationally it had gone. Emotionally, it was definitely present. So that going in, and then sitting, and then, okay, remembering that discourse of the Buddhas, and just sort of, okay, sitting until it calming that fear, and letting letting it come up, and just working with it, and letting it wash through. And, you know, that was really fruitful, because that you realize how you know, what a hold fear has on the mind, and but as strong as it can be, it's also impermanent, and it's easy to forget when it's right in your face. But just by being willing to just continue walking, continue sitting, continue investigating, establishing mindfulness, then you start to realize, oh, okay, that too is impermanent. And it's such a, I mean, it's almost trite to sort of say that, oh, it's just impermanent. But the reality is, you know, when we see that uncertainty, that impermanent nature, the changing nature of the feelings, moods, impressions, thoughts in the mind, we come to a place of refuge, and that's the mindfulness and the clarity that can be established when it's seen for what it is.